Just the start of the fourth year.
The fourth year. So the trick is, it's a great trick. So you take the year, you divide it by seven. And in other words, the Jewish year. So it was just enter 5772. So you divide it by seven. Whatever your remainder is, that's what your Shemitah we're in.
Then it's probably based on 49 years then.
Huh?
It's definitely based on 49.
Well, in other words, we don't do Yovel. So either...
Oh, if that's the case, then the Yovel year is 49.
We do 49. In other words, we don't do a 50th year now. But that's not because we're poskening. It's just simply because we don't do Yovel. But, okay. Good morning, everyone. Okay, tomorrow we're gonna set up a makeup session. We are behind, as I'm sure everyone has figured out already. And so tomorrow, an hour before Mincha, we'll sit, we'll learn, and then we'll learn also during Shal Shudas. Okay, I'm not even saying we're gonna catch up then, but at least we'll make up some ground. Okay, we're in the ninth parak. We're finishing up the ninth parak. Whether we're gonna finish the ninth parak today or not, we'll see. But it's I'm stating this. I'm going to put it on record. A ninth parak of Chulin is challenging. Okay, it's official. It's on tape. It's recorded now. It is a challenging parak. There's no question about it. And primarily because the main topic of the ninth parak is Tumah Tahara, and Tumah Tahara is because we don't have much exposure to Tumah Tahara, and because we're not so super familiar with the rules of Tumah Tahara, so it makes it a challenging parak. That notwithstanding, however, we're here, and somehow we're making our way through it. One of the main topics of the ninth parak is the concept of yad. The concept of yad is basically a handle. If something is a handle towards food, so it's going to be mitame, it's going to be mitame and mitame. It'll import and export tumah. So even though it's not a food in of itself, but since it facilitates and handles the food, so therefore it'll be a conduit for tumah to come in and out. The classic example that we discussed and really started the whole parak rolling was basically if I have a piece of meat attached to a bone. Bone is not a food. Bone is not susceptible to tumas ochlin. Bone is not nevela. Bone is nothing. Bone is parv. And nevertheless, so if that bone is attached to a piece of meat, and your tumay, so you are going to, and all you did was handle the bone, you're going to send your tumah into that piece of meat. Conversely, if that piece of meat is tumay, and it touches another food, let's say it touches truma, so and it didn't touch the actual meat, it just touched the bone, the tumah will go from the meat through the bone to the other food, to the truma. Okay? And this is the basic concept behind yad. The Gemara here is going to ask a series of questions where basically we're going to ask if something could serve as a yad. The example that we gave yesterday, interesting example, was regarding an animal, right? The Mishnah that started this discussion rolling goes all the way back to Kuf Kaf Hay, and... No, I'm sorry, that's not accurate. Sorry. The Mishnah that we're discussing is on Kuf Chav Zayin. Right? We're right now on Kuf Chav Ches Amud Aleph. So on Kuf Chav Zayin, we discussed a Mishnah that talked about the Aver v'habasa hamadudalim bebehema, the limb and the flesh that's hanging on. And the Mishnah says it's metame tumas ochlin. Okay? It's susceptible to tumah. Even though it's connected, right? But since the connection is a tenuous connection, and it's now committed as food, even though nobody can eat it, nevertheless, it's susceptible to tumas ochlin. And essentially, the Gemara's question is, now, the rest of the animal, I understand it's a live animal. I understand that it's not going to become tame. Live animals do not become tame. But can the rest of an animal serve as a yad for the limb? Meaning, if tumah touches the animal, not the limb, but it touches the animal, can the animal now facilitate the conduction of tumah from whatever you touch the animal, let's just say a simple sheretz, a dead sheretz touched the animal, can now the tumah transmit through the animal to the limb? Or no, does the sheretz have to come in direct contact with the limb? And this was a question that we asked yesterday, and the answer was, I don't know, take them. And as I pointed out yesterday, Tosfos points this out, it's difficult to understand, meaning why won't the animal be a yad? Meaning, if I wanted to pick up the limb, I could pick up the limb or I could pick up the animal. Why won't the animal serve as a yad? So Tosus is bothered by this very question, and Tosus essentially says, it's the second Tosus on the page. I'm just going to go to the punchline. It's important because it really helps us understand. There's going to be a series of these types of questions coming up, and really with this Tosus, you're going to understand a lot of what's behind these questions. V'yesh lama delo dam l'shar yados, d'may delo mekabli tumah mishum she'inan ochel. Right? In other words, yad in general. You know what it is? It's nothing. Meaning it's not a food. It's not a non... It's nothing. It's what we call parv. Okay. So a bone is going to serve as the yad. Ava balei chayim kinami havi ochel kagon ben pakua ikalaman damer beperek behema hamakasha dola mekabel tuma. But a live animal is more than just it's not tame. Meaning, by a live animal, it's actually impervious to tuma. Meaning, it's more on the spectrum of tame versus tahor. It's not just that it's not tame, but it's actually tahor. It's I'm trying to find the right phrases for this. It's positively tahor. It's impervious to tuma. He says, I'll give you a great illustration of how this works. Says Tosfos. Let's say you have a live animal that's edible, right? It's called the ben pekua. You shech the mother, and the fetus is inside. And even if the fetus is alive, and even if the fetus comes out, that fetus doesn't require shechita. Now, yes, mid the rabban, you have to shecht it, but that's what we call a ben pekua. Technically speaking, you can eat that fetus right away. And yet, is that fetus going to be susceptible to tumah? And the answer is, well, debatable, but Tosfos points out there's an opinion that says, no, that fetus is not going to become tumah. Why? Because it's a live animal. So it's not that live animals are just simply neutral on tumah versus tahor. Live animals are tahor and impervious to tumah. So maybe, as Tosfos says, this is what is exactly behind the Gemara's question. Maybe as a yad, to look at a live animal as a yad, that's just simply we can't do that. Because yes, yad doesn't have to be a food, but at least yad has to be something which is neutral, has neutrality. Since a live animal is not just neutral, it's positively tahor, impervious to tumah, so maybe a live animal would not serve as a yad. Okay, that's where we ended off yesterday, and it really is where we begin today, in that now you're going to see a series of questions where basically it's going to be this type of story, where we're going to look at things as to whether or not they could serve as a yad. Amar Abaye, we're on Kuf Chavches Amud Aleph, and we're at the bottom. Six lines from the bottom of the Amud. Amar Abaye, Hare Amar Kisha Shanata Batsis Vehigdil Vyatzah Chutzat Atzitz Tahora. I have cucumbers. Well, we did this case yesterday. I have cucumbers, they grow in a pot. The pot does not have holes in it. So as I explained yesterday, any cucumbers in this pot is not connected to the ground. And I know it's growing in dirt, but dirt in the pot, it's considered detached from the ground. As long as these cucumbers are in the pot, they're susceptible to tumah. Now you understand that deviates totally from if the cucumbers were actually in the ground themselves. Connected to the ground, you're grounded, right? From tumah. There's no susceptibility to tumah. There's no susceptibility to hechsher when you are actually in the ground. But these cucumbers are in a pot, which is not in the ground, and there's no holes in the pot, so therefore it's considered removed from the ground. Good. Those cucumbers are not susceptible to tumah. Then let's say you have a cucumber growing over the side of the pot, and now it has direct contact with the ground via the air. Now, as I explained yesterday, the Gemara's assumption always is that that forms the yanika, that forms nourishment from the ground. The air is going to transport nourishment from the ground. So the cucumber over the side is grounded. So now I have a hybrid. I have a pot of cucumbers with some growing over the side. So in the pot, it's not connected to the ground. Over the side is connected to the ground. I know that's confusing, but that's the assumption that we're going to work with. So there are two opinions in this Mishnah. Mishnah Nuksin. Kisha shenata ba'atzitz ve'igil ha'v'yatzah chutz ha'atzitz tahara. So the Tanakhama's position is fine. So whatever is inside the pot, tameh. Whatever is outside, sorry, no. I'm sorry, the Tanakhama's position is the whole thing is tahor. Okay, sorry. The whole thing is tahor. Okay, and Amar Rabbi Shimon v'chi mativ al tahir ella hatame b'tum aso v'tar b'tar aso. And Rabbi Shimon is the one who says, "No, what do you mean? I understand that the cucumber that's outside is now rooted in the ground; it's now grounded. That part I get, but how did it then go? What happened? The groundedness went back into the pot; it made everything in the pot now tahor." Rabbi Shimon says, "No, bifurcate." Everything outside is grounded. Everything inside the pot is considered detached and tummy. Tummy simply meaning susceptible to tumma. It's considered a food detached. Sorry. Vaya Abaye. So good. Now that we have all that clear, meaning that Mishnah notes in, so Abaye says, now I'm going to ask the same question. It's going to be basically, and you're going to hear this three more times after this, so you're really going to get used to it. And Abaye says, so now I'm asking you, Mao Shetasi Yad L'Chaverta. Now that I know that according to Rabbi Shimon, I can have a hybrid. I can have this pot, no perforations. And some of the cucumbers are over the side. The cucumbers over the side are tahor. The cucumbers in the pot are tameh. Can the things over the side at least be viewed as a yad? Right? So that if a sheretz touches the cucumbers that's outside the pot, that is grounded into the ground via the air, if the sheretz touches the outside cucumber, it's not going to become tameh, that I get. But could it at least serve as a yad? And again, the Gemara answers teiku. And again, we're going to give the same explanation that we gave previously. Why does the Gemara not know the answer? Meaning, why can't it serve as a yad? And the answer is because the cucumber that's outside, it's not just tameh. Sorry. It's not just not tameh. It's impervious to tumah. Right? It's tahor. It's positively tahor.
It's right. It's a positive step.
Right. Correct.
It's not neutral.
It's not positive. Right. It's not neutral. Amr of Yirmiyahari Amru. Okay? And again, it's going to be the same type of questioning, I think three more times. Three or two. Hari Amra, Meshach Velachat V'Las Asra. You bow down to a half of a pumpkin, meaning you don't want to worship the whole pumpkin. In other words, it was hard for us to understand Avodah Zarah in general. And then what motivates this person to only bow down to half the pumpkin? Okay, leave the motivation out of the discussion. I can only guess. But he bows down to half. So what becomes? Half of it now becomes Avodah Zarah. And half of it now becomes worshipped Avodah Zarah, Asur Behana. Now, take a look at the bottom Rashi on the page, because Rashi over here supplements us with some background information to really help us understand. Rashi writes, "Meshach v'lachatzi glas asra b'hana mishem avodah zara ula Rabbi Shimon isuri hana'a ein metam in tomas ochlin denafkala lekaman." Rabbi Shimon says that if something is prohibited, meaning to eat and to get benefit from, it becomes not tameh. It becomes impervious to tomas ochlin. This pumpkin that was worshipped, at least the half that was worshipped, now becomes Yisurei Hana because it's Avodah Zarah. V'sulo taima tumas ochlin. When he did the tumah yosa Allah migufa deha Avodah Zarah mitamin kisherish and emar shakets to shakatsenu l'arbi kiva mitamin kinidish and emar tizarem kimodava miyuayi tumah derabanan hi. Now Rashi acknowledges, did you know, it's Perkin Shabbos, did you know that Avodah Zarah gives off tumah? But Rashi says, but don't get sidetracked by that, because that's only tumah derabanan. That's not tumah daraisa. Kedamina beperek Rabbi Akiva ukras machta ba'alma. And that pasuk is just a smachta ba'alma. So now, by Rav Yirmiyah. So now I have a pumpkin which we're dividing in half. Half of it is impervious to tumah because it was worshipped. Ironic. How ironic. The part that was worshipped is actually impervious to tumah, but it's aser bahana, and according to Rabbi Shimon, it's impervious to tumah. And half of it is susceptible to tumah because half of it is food. So now, ma'ashitasi yad lechaverta. And now again, same question. The part that's now impervious to tumah, can it at least function as a yad? And again, the Gemara says, teiku, I don't know. Because since it's not just neutral, but it actually is positively tahor, incapable of becoming tameh, so therefore, maybe it won't serve as a yad. Next. Amr of Papa Ahare Amru. Yichr sholtenu shenif shach u'ma'ur b'kli pasa. We saw this Mishnah in Uksin. We'll see this Mishnah in Uksin again, God willing. Mishnah in Uksin discusses the broken fig tree. Fig tree kind of splits. Wind, hurricane, and it kind of cracks. And the branch that breaks off is hanging on by a little bit. Mu'ura b'klipasa, hanging on by the bark. Rabbi Yehuda matar v'chachamimam. Now Rabbi Yehuda says that part that's hanging on, it's tahor. Okay? Because it's still grounded. V'chachamimam. Mim yachali l'achiyos tahor v'yam lav tameh. And the chachamim qualify. And they say, look, it depends. If the connection is tenuous, that's a given. If there is a chance of recovery, meaning even with our assistance, we'll tape it up, and the branch that's nearly snapped off, if I just simply tie it back to the tree, it will regenerate and it'll replenish. So then it's grounded. However, if give it a little more time and forget it, we're just going to lose the branch. So even at this point in time, it's no longer considered grounded. It's no longer considered connected to the ground. Consequently, that branch is going to be subject to tumah. So by Rav Papa, So again, the Gemara says, one more time, can we view the tree as a yad lechavero, as a handle? So, okay. And take it again, the Gemara says, again, on this question, we'll leave this question unresolved. One more to go. Amar Rebbe Zera Hari Amru. Okay, last of these types of questions. Evan Shibizavis Kishu Cholitz Cholitz as Kulo, Kishu Notates Notates as Shalo, Umeinia Chirshel Chavero. A little bit of background over here for this case. Okay. We are in the third category of Saras, of Negayim, which is Nigei Batim. Right? A house is subject to becoming Mitzora, can have Negayim on it. What happens? So if you see a nega, if you see a tzara spot on your house, so you call over your local Kohen, he takes a look at it, he identifies it. And then there is two stages to the process. Number one is removal of that particular stone. Okay, that's what's called cholates. Okay? And then you replace it with another stone. And then you wait a week. And then the spot comes back. It doesn't have to come back. In fact, you'd obviously prefer if it didn't come back. And you go through the step again. If by at the end of week number two, you've now seen that the spot is just defiant, the spot insists on staying there, so you have to take down your entire house. Okay. This is the basic outline for Saras Batim, Nigei Batim. Now, this Mishnah... Yeah, it's a Mishnah. This Mishnah over here discusses the following. It's a duplex. Two houses side by side sharing a common wall. And the stone that actually becomes Saras is part of the common wall. So in actual, so his neighbor, right, of the duplex actually also enjoys the benefit of the stone. So now the Mishnah says, Evan Shebezavis, the stone that's in the corner. Okay, so in other words, it's a cornerstone. It is shared by the two people of the two sides of the wall. Kishu cholitz cholitz is kula. Look, when you're going through the first step of chalitz, of removing the stone, you got to remove the entire stone. Even though obviously your neighbor's not going to be so happy because part of his wall has been removed, but it's only just one stone. Okay. Ukishu hu notates. However, when you're at the stage of netitza, in other words, demolishing everything, notate says shalom uminiach eshel chavero. Now you do not have the right to remove the entire stone, but rather we're going to divide that stone in half. The half that's on your side that requires to be demolished. The half on your neighbor's side that does not need to be demolished. Rashi says all this is sourced in psukim. There's no logic over here, but still though, one more time, one last time, we have now a stone in this scenario that we divide in half. Half of it is Tamei, and half of it is not Tamei. And again, the question really comes down to the same question one more time by Rabbi Zera. Mao Shetase Yad Lechaverta. I know that that half that's not Tamei, I know it's not Tamei. That part I get. But could it serve as a Yad? Will that half that's not Tamei serve as a conductor and conduct the Tuma into the other person's house? Take who the Gemara says, I don't know. Okay? And again, really, the formula for understanding this question is the same as we discussed previously, meaning it's not neutral, it's actually impervious to Tuma, it's positively Tahor, and so therefore it may not even serve as a Yad. Okay. Mesa Behema. Okay, we start the next section of the Gemara, and let's review the Mishnah. Kuf Chav Zayin Amar Aleph is where the Mishnah began. So the first case of the Mishnah is a case in which you just have a hanging limb. And the hanging limb, for most intents and purposes, is considered still connected to the animal. But if you commit it to food, it can become to Masochlin. I told you that in of itself is a difficult concept. Okay. And actually, we're going to come back and discuss that later this morning. Good. The next case in the Mishnah is where you shech the animal. So the question is, does that limb become hochsher? Does that limb become now prepared through the blood that comes out of the neck of the animal? That was a machlok between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon. And if I remember correctly, there were six ways to explain that machlok between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir. And then the Mishnah now deals with the last case, which is Mesa HaBehema. The animal dies. So in other words, it had a dangling limb, and then the animal just simply dies. HaBastot Tzarech Hechsher. HaEver Mitami Misham Ever Menachai. So if it was hanging flesh that came off, that was kind of hanging on the animal, that hanging flesh requires Hechsher. If it was Aver, if it was an limb that was dangling, it's Mitami Misham Ever Menachai. Rabbi Meir makes the assumption that, you know what? Immediately prior to the death of the animal, that hanging limb kind of just snapped right off. Either legally or actually. Okay, doesn't matter much. Right? Misa osa nipo. The death of the animal, we're going to assume the limb came off prior to the death. Assuming that that's correct, so now what's that? That's Aver Menachai. Now, he goes out of his way to say, you know what it is? It's Aver Min HaChai, and not Aver Min HaNevela. The Gemara says, what's the difference? I don't understand. Aver Min HaChai gives off Tumah. Okay? The Gemara is going to establish that through Psukim later on, but right now, let's just assume.
That's a Nevela by itself.
Aver Min HaChai, right. Okay, so stay tuned, because this is exactly what the Gemara's question is. Right? Aver Min HaChai gives off Tumah. It's a source of Tumah. Nevela is Tame. Okay? So, and the Mishnah made it very clear that that limb that was dangling, and then the animal dies, that limb, that's Aver Min HaChai, that's not Aver Min HaNevela. Okay, but if you're making a very clear point, I understand, but I don't know what the difference is, says the Gemara. They're both Avatumah, it's both a source of Tumah. So why make that distinction? So my ikah bein ever menachai lever mena nevela ikah bein ever basar aparsh mimenu me ever behema di ilu basar aparsh me ever menachai lametame me ever mena nevela mitame. So the Gemara says a really fundamental difference, because ever menachai, yes, it's true, it's the source of tumah, it's an avatumah, but only as the identity as an aver, meaning a limb that you ripped off an animal is categorically a limb. It's got everything. It's got sinew, it's got bone, it's got flesh, meaning it's not, we don't look at its compartmental parts, but rather we look at the thing as an entity. It's a limb. So it only will give off tumah as a limb. The Gemara says, what if I, in other words, ripped off a limb from the animal, a live animal, which now is a source of tumah, and from that limb, I take off a little bit of meat. And let's say I take off a lot of meat. Let's say I take off even a kazayas. Is that meat that I take off going to be a source of tumah? No, it won't be. Because an aver menachai is only tameh as an aver, not because of its components, but as a whole unit, as an entity. As opposed to nevela. You see, if something's a nevela, if an animal's a nevela, which means that it died without a proper shechita, if it's a nevela, every kazayas of meat is going to become tameh. Will not just be tameh, be an avatumah, will be a source of tumah as nevela. So there is a very fundamental difference whether we're going to call this aver min HaChai or aver min HaNevela or basar min HaNevela. Okay? And the difference is what if I, after taking the limb, take a piece of meat off the limb? If it's aver min HaChai, that meat's not a source. Now, later on this morning, and this will be one of our most complicated discussions, we're going to discuss that meat that I ripped off. I know it's not a source of tumah, but shouldn't it at least be tame, meaning tumas ochlin, something along those lines?
Is it a shame?
Right. Okay, so we'll talk about that later. And that will be, okay, without giving false advertisement, that will be a complicated discussion in the Gemara. But leave that alone for now. Now we're just dealing with the basics. If it's nevela, so then every piece of meat now is a source of tumah. Good. So that's the difference.
The remainder
is a live animal. Aver Min HaChai, I rip off.
I'm talking about the piece. The Aver Min HaChai.
Yeah, the actual, right, the limb itself.
But the limb itself, if you take a piece off.
Yeah.
So the rest of the
remaining part is still an Aver Min HaChai. At what point, it's a good question. At what point does it lose its identity altogether?
Right.
Right, it's a good question. I'm not sure if I don't have the answer. Okay. No, but I understand that, but no. what Hedy's asking is, it's an Eiver Menachai, meaning I ripped it off a live animal. And it's a source of Tumah. What do I have to do to it in order for it no longer to be considered Eiver Menachai? Meaning we're focusing on when I rip meat off the off that limb. And what we're pointing to that piece of meat, and we say, that's nothing. It's not Eiver Menachai, because a limb has to have bones and sinews. And in other words, it's not a limb. It's meat ripped off the limb. So it's not Eiver Menachai. So what is, so good. So that piece of meat is nothing. In the world of Tumah Tahara, what Hedy's asking is about the limb itself. When does the limb lose its identity as a limb? Okay, that's a more than reasonable question. Let's go on to the Gemara. The Gemara over here now is going to lay down facts on the ground. Eiver Menachai Demetame Maikra, right? We are on Kuf Chav Ches Amud Beis, 128b, and it's about 10 lines from the top of the page, and here we go, basic drushas. Eiver Menachai gives off Tumah, it's a source of Tumah. Maikra, what's up, Sukkim? So I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav Echiyamos, min ha-behema. If some of the animal dies. Now, you hear what I did, by the way. I butchered the interpretation of the pasuk, but so did the Gemara. So, you know, I'm in good company. Not butcher. Yeah, it's a drasha. Meaning, v'chiyamos min ha-behema. If you have a portion of the animal that experienced misa, meaning the limb, eiver menachai. So now, it's almost like what Hedy said earlier. Meaning, when I rip a limb off an animal, you know what that is? It's a mini nevela. The animal dies without a shechita. That's a big nevela. If a limb is ripped off, that's a mini nevela. But you got to be careful about which words you use. Because if I call that limb a mini nevela, so then I'll get confused and I'll say, oh, okay, fine, the meat on it is also a source of tumah. No, the limb, only as a limb, is a source of tumah. The Gemara now is going to go into its accounting, which is that pasuk seems to already been spoken for. Some animals die and give off tuma, and some animals die and don't give off tuma. I.e., what if you have a trefa which is on its way out? You know the animal is going to die. And you shecht it. Is that animal going to give off tuma? And the answer is no. One of the first things we learned in Masechta Chulin, a trefa that which is shechted, you won't be able to eat it because it's a trefa, but at least it doesn't give off tuma. And where do we know that from? This very pasuk. So how can I use this pasuk to teach me the halacha that Eiver Menachai gives off tuma? Im kein lechtov rechmana mi behema, my min ha behema shma min atarte. Good. So the Gemara says that I could have just learned that one drasha if it said mi behema as one extra letter. The fact that the Torah goes and makes it a separate, its own word, min ha behema, two halachas, two drashas. Ihache afilu basanami. So the Gemara says, okay, so if that limb is a source of tuma, so why not basar? Meaning if I tear flesh off of a live animal. The lo sakadach, the Italian, the Gemara says, no. Tearing flesh off of an animal, that's not Eiver Menachai. You know what that's called? Basar Menachai. Basar Menachai does not give off tuma. Now, it is absolutely forbidden to eat. You cannot eat Basar Menachai. We can't eat it, but Noah cannot eat it. You're not allowed to eat it. But it doesn't give off tuma. So why not? Why isn't flesh considered a mini nevela? So the Gemara says, D'tanya, we'll enter the Brisa. Yachol Yamos. Sorry. Skip the line. Yachol Yehei Basar HaParosh Menachai Tamei. I might think that Basar HaParosh Menachai is going to be Tamei Tamalomer V'chiyamos Min HaBehema. Ma Misa She'ino Oseh Chalipin Af Kol She'ino Oseh Chalipin Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, you know what the critical factor is? You know what will be the determinant of whether it's a source of tumor or not? Regeneration. I rip off a little piece of flesh off an animal. It'll grow back. Okay? All of it, some of it, I don't know. There'll be some regeneration. You rip a limb off an animal, it's not going to regenerate. Rabbi Kiva omer behema, ma behema, ginevat samos, af kol ginevat samos. Now Rabbi Kiva is going to do something similar, but not exactly the same. The Gemara is going to note that there are going to be subtle differences between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says, yeah, if a limb is going to be ripped off and give off tuma, it has to be a mini animal. Meaning, what is the composite of an animal? Composite of an animal is gidim v'atzamos, bone and sinew. So the only thing that will give off tumah when ripped off a live animal is a mini animal, meaning it's got to be a composite of bone and sinew. Av kol gidim v'atzamos. And then there's a third opinion in this brisa, Rebbe. Rebbe Omer Behema, Ma Behema, Basa Ginev Atzamos, Avko Basa Ginev Atzamos. Now, Rebbe is nearly identical to Rabbi Akiva, but he adds one more thing to the composite. Meaning, if I ask you, essentially define for me an animal, so an animal is flesh, bone, and sinew. So if I'm ripping a limb off of a live animal, and we want to call that limb, right, mini nevela, right, it has to be a composite of bone, flesh, and sinew. Three opinions in this brisa, they all really speak to the same idea. Aver Menachai is going to give off tuma. It's only going to be considered a nevela if it's a mini nevela, meaning it's, you know, you're really taking away from the animal. So it's just a question of how do we qualify that? How do we define that? So the first opinion was Rav Yossi. He says it, regeneration is a critical factor. Second opinion was Rabbi Akiva. He says that it has to be made up of bone and sinew. And the third opinion is Rebbe, which he just adds. In other words, he likes Rebbe Akiva's basic definition, but he adds buster to the composite.
Then, according to that, then Aver Menachai is a nevela.
So Aver Menachai, yes, you're right, but we just, and I know I'm going to sound like semantics right now, you're right, but we're not going to call it nevela. We're going to call it Aver Menachai. And the reason why we gain from that, well, no, it's not just semantics, is because it's only tamei as an aver. It's not going to be tamei if I segment the pieces. Okay, but basically, I'm not disagreeing with you. Meaning, correct, it's a mini nevela. My ika ben Rabbi Akiva, so the Gemara says, okay, nafkaminas, meaning there's got to be, they're not just arguing in theory, practical differences. The Gemara says, sure, ika benayu arkuva. So look, as far as the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi, I get it. That last part of the leg, right, the one that's right next to the hoof, that part of the leg of the animal, it's got bone, it's got sinew, it's got flesh, sorry, it's got hide, it's got no flesh, right? What do we call that? The akuva hanim keres in my rosh, right? That's that last part of the leg that's sold with a head, meaning you buy a head, so you know what the butcher does? He throws in that bony leg together with the sale. So, according to Rabbi Akiva, is that Aver Menachai? Yes. Atzamos v'gidin. According to Rabbi, is that Aver Menachai? No. Because it's Atzamos v'gidin, but no Basar. And you need Basar. By the way, you see that according to Rabbi Akiva, again, just highlighting, this is not Nevela. This is Aver Menachai. According to Rabbi Akiva, you just took a limb off of an animal that doesn't even have meat. And according to Rabbi Akiva, that's Aver Menachai. Nevela is only on the meat. So you see, it's meaning, I'm not going to disagree with you, it is a nevela, but it really is, to call it nevela is misleading. See, we're going
to
call it...
say that nevela has to come from a dead thing.
Correct.
But
nevela is only on the meat, and you see clearly, at least from the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, you see very clearly that you can have something, Aver Menachai, and it not have any meat on it.
But if you can just say the definition of nevela is that it has something to do with dead animal.
Right.
That's it.
Right. And this is a mini death. Right? Mini, it's death to the limb. But the limb has to be a composite of what the animal is, and now we're debating three ways what's a composite of an animal. Difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef Aglili, the Gemara says, I'm Rav Papa, kol yivanim svasayim. So the Gemara says, sure. Kidneys do not regenerate. Right, once the kidney goes, that's it. It doesn't regenerate. Nivs fasayim, some part of the lip of the animal, which also does not regenerate. According to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, if you remove a kidney from a live animal, Aver Menachai. Sure, because it's not going to regenerate. So that kidney now has experienced a mini death. And so therefore, it's Aver Menachai. According to Rabbi Akiva, no. Because in order for something to be Aver Menachai, it has to be a composite of the animal. And the composite of the animal is gidim v'atzamos. The kidney is not bone and sinew. Kidney is just flesh. Now, good. We're really arguing about what is the definition of Aver Menachai. everyone basically agrees that it has to be a mini death of a limb. It's just a question of how we're defining a limb. Three opinions, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi. We're going to do the whole thing again in the world of Shratzim. Now, in according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, yes.
But it doesn't have a bone.
Correct, because Rabbi Yossi Aglili doesn't have bone as part of the definition.
Which one is acceptable?
Rabbi.
Or has to have all three?
Has to have all three.
So a kidney by itself is not.
So kidney by itself is not. Correct. Okay.
Surgically remove. kidney can eat it.
You can't eat it. It's still basar min achai. Right? The whole discussion, I'm sorry. It was a good try. And the whole discussion over here is just simply, it's a Tumah Tahara discussion. Remember, we're in the ninth parak of Chulin. So you gotta flip the switch. We're not talking about Issur V'Heter. We're talking about, most of the time, we're talking about Tumah Tahara. Gabi Shratzim Ki Gavna. So we're going to do the whole thing again, and we're going to do it in the world of Sheretz. I'm going to read quickly. By a sheretz, you have to rip off part of it that will not regenerate. Rabbi Kiva Amar sheretz, my sheretz gidin v'atzamas, I've called gidin v'atzamas. Rabbi Kiva says it has to be bone and sinew. Now, our sheretz of our hedgehog and our mole, we kind of understand that. The sheretz of the slug, and it's gonna be harder to understand bone and sinew by those types of shrotzim. Lizards.
Well, lizards, they have bone.
Some exoskeleton.
Yeah, but a slug?
Okay, again, I'm acknowledging my lack of understanding, which I could do all the time. Rabbi Omer Sheretz, my Sheretz Basar Gidin V'Atzamos, I've called Basar Gidin V'Atzamos. And again, the Gemara is going to go through the same Nafkaminas. Bein Rabbi Rabbi Kiva Kabanayo Arkuva. Bein Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Yosei Glila Mai Kabanayo Amar Rav Papa Kulya B'Niv Sfasayim. And again, you're going to have to do a little bit of biology over here. Shiratzim have kidneys? Okay. So I leave it for the zoologists. But now, the Gemara just wonders, look, we went through this definition of Avram and Achai by an animal. We went through this definition of Avram and Achai by Sheretz. Seems repetitive. The Gemara says it's not. Look, by an animal, you need significant amount of animal to give off Tumas Nevela, right? When it comes to a sheretz, you do not need a lot of sheretz. It's a mitame becha adasha. One lentil bean size of sheretz is all you need to give off Tumah. So you see that sheretz has more sensitivity to Tumah, so maybe the requirements is a higher form of requirement. Ala sheretz a mitame becha adasha im ala tame mechaim. On the other hand, you'll notice that by Nevela, it gives off Tumah two methods of transmission, contact and carrying. Sheretz, only one method of transmission, which is contact. And so therefore, each one has a unique feature to it. And so therefore, we have to go over both times a debate about what is considered Aver Menachai. Okay, and this by far and away is going to be the most complicated part of today. Okay, and again, just, you know, it's good advertising on my part. I have an Avram Menachai. I ripped a limb off of an animal. Okay, and I'm holding the limb up. So now, as a limb, we say two things about it. Number one, nobody can eat it. Nobody. Right? Jew and non-Jew alike. It's Avram and Achai. But number two, that it's metame. It's not just food. It's a source of tumah. It's Avram and Achai. It's what we, you know, call a mini nevela. Right? It's Avram and Achai. But now remember, as I mentioned a couple times already today, mini nevela is really not the right terminology. It's only tame as an entire Avram. If I rip off a little piece of meat from this, so that little piece of meat that I rip off is not a source of tumah. The Bryce over here is going to be discussing the following. If I first cut off the piece of meat and then I have a machshava of eating it. Now, a machshava of eating it,
you designate it as food after.
Nobody can eat it. Okay? But that's not the point. In the world of Tumas Ochlin, it doesn't matter that nobody can eat it. As long as you commit it as food, it's subject now to Tumas Ochlin. But you made the commitment after you tore it off. So the Braisa says Tahor. If, however, I make my commitment prior to me tearing it off, so that piece now that I tear off is going to be tame. Not a source of tamo, but it'll be tame in the sense that as I tore it off, it once upon a time was part of the aver, now I tore it off, it touched aver menachai, meaning that last little shred that connected the two was contact, and so therefore that piece of meat that I'm holding now in my hand is tame. It's food that was in contact with aver menachai. Okay, here's where it gets complicated. Rabbi Asi lo al lebe medrasha. Rabbi Asi didn't go to the base medrash, right? And everything gets complicated when you don't go to the base medrash. Rabbi Asi didn't go. Ashkechel Rabbi Zera. So he meets up with Rabbi Zera. Amalei, I don't know why so many discussions in the Gemara open up with this kind of structure. And, you know, I tell you, there's a story behind the story. You know, I'm not teasing, meaning I don't know what the story is. But like I always feel like there's background over here which the Gemara doesn't clue us into. So lo alabe medrash, so Rav Asi didn't go to the Beis Medrash. Ashkechel le Rabbi Zera. He meets up with Rabbi Zera. Amalei my amar bebe medrash. So now turns to Rabbi Zera and says, "Okay, no, what they talk about today? What I miss?" So amalei my kashalach. So Rabbi Zera knows that this was a loaded question, and Rabbi Zera says, "Okay, so let me hear what." What issues do you have? So Amalei diktani chishav achakachat chotame. My issue is that second part of the brisa that we just learned. Obviously, the Gemara is going to put the story in the context of the brisa that we just learned. Here's what I don't understand: Tumas beis astarim, even Tumas beis astarim lo mitame. Here's the part that's totally confounding to me. You see, that meat that I ripped off the Ever Menachai. Yeah, you know what? You're right. There was contact as the meat was being separated. But where was the contact? It was internal contact, meaning those pieces were touching on the inside. This is what we call Tumas Beis Astarim. This is not the first time that we exposed ourselves to this idea. And, correct. And as we've said time and again, that is not contact to convey Tumma. Tumma can only be conveyed if it's an external contact between two items. Meaning if this item is Tame and this item is Tahor, and I touch the two one to another, that will be a transmission of Tuma. But if the contact was only internal, where it was not an exposed area, yes, it's true, after I separated them, they're exposed. But they weren't separate, they were not exposed when they were together, and so watch, right? Not exposed, exposed, but the exposure is after they separated. So how did that convey Tuma? I don't understand. The meat that I'm ripping off the Ever Menachai, I understand I'm even committing that meat as food. But I just don't even understand. How does it convey Tuma? Okay, stay tuned tomorrow. Okay, it's a super difficult question, right? Should have gone to base measures that day. it's a very good question. And the answer, it's not a lot of Gemara, I'll tell you the truth, but it is going to be the next 10, 20 lines of Gemara is going to be a little complicated. And with that introduction, so tomorrow, Shabbos, an hour before Mincha, we're going to get together. We're going to go over, hopefully, tomorrow for sure, we're going to finish the ninth parak, one way or another. Hopefully that pre-Mincha session will finish the ninth parak. And then we'll start the 10th parak, and it gets easier. Okay, not a promise, but it's going to get easier after this, once we're beyond the ninth parak.